Good evening. Welcome here. This evening, as was announced, we're planning to have a panel discussion. And I would like to invite those that I've asked to be on that panel up front. This evening we have five teachers and a set of parents that are going to be on this panel. So go ahead and come up front. What I'd like to do first, and I did give them a bit of a idea of what we might talk about, but I do have the freedom that I think to stray from it because it's a little hard to know where discussions will go. And I just want to let them know and let you know that we're going to try to be relaxed about it and not be too formal. They were all looking forward to this, though. All right, so first of all, let's start on this end with you, Dwayne. I'd like you to pick up your mic there and introduce yourself, where you're from, and share anything about teaching that you'd like to share, just for introduction's sake.
My name is
Jack. Oh, is it good?
Okay, the organ.
He has it muted back there.
So my name is Dwayne Erb. I teach grades 5 and 6 in Barnett, Missouri, and I've taught for 2 years, planning to start my third year here in about a month. So I guess that's it for now.
My name is Austin Smucker. I have taught for 3 years, 2 years in Pennsylvania, 1 year here in Central Oregon, and this next year I'm planning on heading up to Canada to teach. Something about teaching. Let's just say that I love being a teacher, but I hate checking.
So my name is Jonah Avina. I'm from Bangor, California. I taught my first year in Missouri, and I've taught my last 11 years there at Bangor. For quite a bit of the time, I had the whole school. This year, I'm looking forward to having a co-teacher, and it's exciting for me. I love teaching as well, and I didn't used to like checking, so give Austin another 4 years or so, and he'll be good at that, too.
My name is Susan Hofer, and I'm from the Sterling Mennonite School. I'm going to have grades 5, 6, and 7 this year. And at least two of my former students are here as teachers.
I'm Rhonda Baer from Idaho, and I am taught in the past, but I'm not planning to teach this year. So.
I'm Faith Summers from Bangor, California. I taught school 4 years before we were married and cried on the last day of school. I loved it. I homeschooled for 10 weeks. I loved parts of that. Thankfully, that was when Jonah started teaching. His last long stint of teaching was when he took off after that. And I love the school, and we have 6 children, and the younger two are still in school.
I'm Paul Summers. Obviously, this is my wife beside me, and I'm the reason she cried on the last day of school. And I didn't. But you see, in May we celebrated 25 years together. So God has been good to us, and I served on the school board at our local congregation for the last 4 years. Or actually, this is my fourth year. I served a couple years at the beginning of our congregation there as well. And it's always been a joy for me to serve on our board. And probably because we've always been able to work through difficulties and issues. And our school years have been good. And But sitting up here behind this table in front of all of you this morning, or this evening, I kind of have butterflies in my stomach for some reason.
Thank you very much. So what I did is I did a little math to see what our total years of experience are here, just for interest's sake, for those for teaching years. I believe we have a total of 41 years represented here, and for parenting years, I believe we have a total of 59, if you add everything up. So, I think we have a lot of experience here. And, yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing what these folks have to say about life and school in particular. But what I'm going to do is we have some things we're going to talk about, discuss, and I want them to feel free to share. I might call on some of them specifically, not necessarily have them all answer every time. And I have parents and teachers, and we're going to count Jonah as a teacher here tonight, even though he is a parent too. We want to have balance that way. We want to be able to discuss some things that teachers and parents need to discuss, and different angles, looking at things from a teacher's perspective and then also from a parent's perspective. And then, if I remember, when we talk about some of these subjects, I have about four main subjects I'm going to look at tonight, and I didn't use every question that was handed in because we are having a question and answer time tomorrow, and we hope to cover that. But just to keep things a little more organized, I grouped it into four main subjects. And what I was going to say was that after we discuss a subject, I hope to at least give you a little time to say anything if there's something really urgent on your mind that you would like to share about any of these subjects. So, the four main subjects that I would like to talk about a bit this evening. Number one, respect in our schools. Number two, school culture. Number three, school attendance. And number four, relationships, especially probably the parent-teacher relationships. So as we think of respect in our schools, I don't know if you feel like this is something that we need or not. It's something you've noticed in your schools, but it's something we've all noticed in society. Respect is definitely waning. And I believe that has a way of rubbing against the curtains of our school too, and making a subtle change there too. And so we want to discuss that a bit. I think about different times we meet these families, these very nice families, and you know, some of them are extremely respectable and disciplined, and I admit it puts our families to shame sometimes. And I think that's something, one thing that we could learn from some of those families in communities around us. It's not like there's a lot, but they stand out when you see them. And we want families that are respectful, too, as we relate to each other, as we relate to the community. So, the first question I'd like to ask, I guess in relation to this, is, we think of respect, one of the aspects is we use titles in most of our schools, as far as I know, for teachers. Might be brother or sister, might be Mr. or Miss. Some schools they would use teacher. Not sure, I'm not as familiar with that. But I'd like to ask them what they think, if this is a good tradition to have these titles of respect in our schools. So, I'd like to ask Dwayne, what do you think of that? Is that a good thing?
Yes, there we go. Is that working? No.
I think they're not supposed to touch the button.
Just leave the mic on.
Okay. You don't shut it off. He's trying to mute it back there.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. So, yes, I feel like this is important in our schools. I grew up in Texas, and that's a slightly different culture than where I teach in Missouri. So it was a little different for me to go there, and they didn't use the yes, sir, no, ma'am, like we would have known in Texas. And so I don't feel they've lost the respect there, though. I do like to see, though, when I talk to a student that if I ask them a question, they don't just say yeah or but yes or no. At least that's a step in the right direction. So yeah, do I feel it's important? Yes, I do.
Okay. Jonah, what do you think about it?
I think titles are important. Honestly, my students do not use a title when referring to me. However, I encourage them to use titles in referring to brethren in the church or visitors and so on, and I try to do that as much as I can as well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. How about you, Paul? How do you feel from a parent's perspective? Is this good for your children to say brother, sister, Mr., Miss? Is it necessary?
I think there could be we could look at it from two different ways. We haven't in the past. I didn't grow up in a school where we did that. And I kind of feel like they're okay. I don't think it's a must. I feel like if it takes that for our teachers to have the respect of our students, we've already missed it. But I wouldn't be opposed to using a Mr. Miss or sister, brother, whatever there that could be a benefit, but we don't at our schools, and okay. Respect hasn't been a problem. So
yeah, I think you're right in that it is a principle. Sometimes these things do help maintain a principle, help us to be alert to the principle, I guess. One thing that you might face is when you teach in your own community, if it is a normal procedure, the normal culture, this is all part of culture in a way, we hear this that too coming out. How do you keep it if in that way? If you're teaching at your own school, and I think Susan does that. Do you teach at your own school? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I've been Miss Susan ever since I started teaching, probably because my best friend and I taught together the first year, and we were both Hofers, so we couldn't use our last name. But an interesting little story, a couple years ago, one of the families, I've taught several of their children, and I guess at home one time, one of the older girls that's close to my age was talking about something I had called her about that she was going to get for me, that Susan needs these zippers. And the dad in the family said, Susan, who's Susan? Because it was Miss Susan.
Okay. All right, thank you. Well, it sounds like they've established it well there. And I have to think, one thing I think about is this thing of respect, not exactly of titles, but if you go to different areas in the world, and or even in our country, I think about the respect when you have a funeral procession or even emergency vehicles. It's not maybe as much respect, but yeah, there's something there that it's not just, you know, me first, I can do anything. Where I grew up in the East, we didn't stop or pull off to the side unless there was an emergency vehicle trying to get around us, and we passed the funeral processions, and it was, well, you noticed that it was that. But in some areas I've heard of already where, you know, you go by the job site, the men take off their work caps and lay them across their chest. That's the other extreme. But there is something that these different cultures, we're in the culture we're in, we can't totally change that. We're not going to change a whole community by what we teach in our room, but the principle of respect, like was said, we have to maintain. One thing we think about with respect is the school property. Is that anything that you have noticed in Austin, you've taught from one side of the country to the other. Is that something you notice from one place to the other side as far as how much you respect the school building or books, or is that just a common problem wherever you are?
It is a common problem wherever you are.
Okay. Are you sure you don't have more on that? That's a pretty short answer for you. That's fine, if that's all you have at this point. Did you notice any difference in respect of individuals or the way that attitude of respect was?
Yeah, there was a little difference. And I would attribute the difference to the difference in parents.
Okay.
If the parents teach their children at home to respect their friend's property, their neighbor's property, when they come to school, that's going to carry over there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if the parents are actively doing, teaching that at home, mm-hmm. you'll see a difference in the schools.
Right. Okay. So now we're pointing fingers back to parents. So Faith, what's your thought on that? I mean, is that your problem? Did mom fail at home?
Probably a lot of it is the parents. I remember when I was teaching some of the children that were, maybe they went into the schoolroom after church, and they were the same ones that were tearing around and spitting gravel outside of church. So I would tend to think the parents do have a big part, but I don't want the teacher to expect the parent to fix the problem if there is a problem at school.
So we have her permission at school that we do have a responsibility. And Rhonda, you would have had teaching experience at a couple schools, right? Okay, do you have any thoughts on this thing of respect, different areas, or anything you want to share on that?
I think it is important for the teachers to demonstrate it and mm-hmm. be careful how we handle even the books and mm-hmm. things that we show them how to respect property.
That's a good thought. Example. So we as teachers do leave an example, definitely. So be a good example, teachers. And the other extreme of this is maybe we don't want, respect is good, but we don't want this schoolroom to be, or these students to be so proper and stilted that they can't be themselves either. Could we go too far in that, Jonah? Or? Could we go too far in emphasizing respect? Is that a danger?
I'm not a Nazi. I've actually been accused of having a semi less than structured classroom, but the relationship I have with my students is very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely draw the line with them damaging each other's property or mm-hmm. school property
mm-hmm.
or doing anything that was disrespectful toward me or another brother or sister in the church, especially mm-hmm. their parents.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, is there anything you have as a group here that you wanted to add quickly? Not going to pause long. On this subject of respect, anything? We didn't cover nearly everything we could, but.
What is the key as it relates to respect to the teacher as an individual? You spoke about respect to property, and that's
mm-hmm.
one issue.
Mm-hmm.
But how does the teacher, how do the parents work together to culture that respect that must be there?
For a person in authority?
For a teacher or
yeah.
for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but particularly the teacher.
Okay. So, you have a thought on that? Anyone on the panel have a thought on that? Or in the group, how do we cultivate that?
Years ago, something happened when my older sisters were in school that the teacher had done something that they didn't think was fair, and my father, expected them to respect the teacher, and we didn't find out till I don't know, maybe 15 years later. That he had gone to the teacher and talked about that to the teacher. But my sisters did not know that. They were expected to respect the teacher even if he made what Dad thought was the wrong decision. And we have tried to do the same thing with our children. Jonah is not perfect, but he's a good teacher, and you can respect him because he is the teacher, whether or not you agree with something.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's very good. And Jonah, you have anything to add to that?
Respect is earned.
All right. I think we have two balancing thoughts there. Anything else you had on that, John? Okay, moving on. School culture. We already referred to this and said how this respect thing is going to be different in different school cultures, although the principle is the same. I had the privilege and of teaching in three different schools, and so there was that. There was definitely that opportunity to notice the different school cultures. And then my own. Then I went to a different. You know, when I was growing up, I went to a school too. So there's been four schools, you could say, that I've been involved in my life. And you know, as you think of culture, you know, some schools are known for their singing, for example, and that's a very good culture to have developed, especially if you have the boys singing too. That's a good culture. Maybe that's the one that we need to strengthen. And maybe get their dads singing too while you're at it, if you can get the boys doing it. It probably has to go the other way though. One that I think of, it's one school that I taught at, is when fall comes around and elk season is upon us. Oftentimes that first branch bull elk came to the door for everyone to get to see. I don't know what it really did, but it probably did inspire the younger ones to be hunters when they were big. So they're passing something on there. So that could be a culture, you might say. And there's all different kinds of things. You know, from one school I taught at to the next, I have to admit, one was more formal, and so the next one was more informal. And so it would have made some patrons or faculty quake a bit at the first school if they would have seen some of the Crocs and patched trousers, I think, or actually no patched trousers that came into the other school. But that's not, you know, that's not a culture thing that is a big problem. So school culture, how do we relate to it? When is it okay to let culture rule? When should we try to change it? And those are things that, at least for myself, I dealt with a bit as I went between schools, and maybe some of you don't have a lot on this thought, but what do you have, Dwayne, you talked a bit about culture because you grew up in one culture and moved to another. Is that something that you can say you recognized and faced, or do you have an example that you would have dealt with on that?
I don't have any real big examples. There were small things just in ways that we maybe celebrated a holiday or a certain event at school that was different from the school I went to. So there was definitely that difference in ways of going about school.
Yeah.
From where I grew up.
That's right. And this is, it's not like this, like I guess this is just an item of interest, you might say, or an awareness to new teachers. It's something, if you're going to a new area, it's something you will face, and it's something you have to think about. At least it's something I had to think about and think how to relate to, because we have our molds in our mind of how the things are done. And so is it something that, is there ever a time to change a culture? Austin, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would say there's a time to change it. Someone told me before I started teaching, since I was going back to a new culture to teach, and I was informed that that culture was going to be significantly different from what we had out here at Halsey. And while I didn't go to the Halsey school, two of my siblings did, so I kind of knew what this school was like. Someone told me, Austin, you have no business changing the culture of that school until you've taught there for a minimum of 5 years. So going back there to teach, I fit into their culture, as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. And is there a time to change it? Yes, there is definitely a time to change it. But you have to be careful with that, because changing the culture in some people's minds can be I don't know. I don't know if I want to use the word sin, but sometimes it feels that way, considering how strongly we hold on to our traditions.
Jonah, do you have anything more to add on this thing of school culture and as far as changing it?
I would second what Austin said about waiting until you've at least gained rapport with the people before trying to change something. And if you're intending to make a change, be certain you have the support of the board and mm-hmm. parents mm-hmm. before reinventing something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an important point. Don't just try to change everything right away, not the first week, not the first year they even mentioned that. I think that's definitely, we don't want to do that too fast. I think about, one thing I think about from one school to the next where I taught is how it seemed like I was used to having things fairly lined out, especially after I taught a year or two. I figured it's better to know what we're going to do about something than to not know. And I tend to be the type that likes to have things figured out. Well, it got to the point where I know at the school that I taught at that wasn't used to that as much. It felt like, I'm trying to think how it was said. It felt like there was a whole list. We come in the first day and there's a whole list of rules. And so that can be culture, but that can also, I think it's a challenge just as teachers. We do have to be alert and sensitive to the local community and what they're used to and what they're expecting as far as us as teachers. We are asked to teach for them. We're working for them. So that's something we need to keep in mind. Any more thoughts on school culture? I don't think I'm going to spend a lot more time on that one. All right, school attendance. Don't you like it when you get a text in the morning, 5 minutes before school to start? I need John to diff today, or maybe it's even school starts and where's Ben? You maybe have siblings in the room. Where's Ben? Oh, he's hunting. Okay. Or you might get a phone call that Lucy's needed at home today. You don't know exactly why, but she's needed at home. These are things I dealt with, teachers deal with, maybe depending a bit on their communities. So, how do we encourage parents to help their children attain to have good attendance? First of all, I'd like to back up a little bit. That was an extreme. Some extremes, hopefully. So first of all, I'd like to talk about perfect attendance. That was one question that had come in the question box. How do we encourage parents to help their children attain perfect attendance? And Rhonda, what's your thoughts on perfect attendance? How do we encourage parents to this?
I would rather have them not have perfect attendance than come to school and they're sick. So that, I guess, is unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really have a lot of trouble with absences that I didn't think were good reasons. And so I don't really have a lot of experience with that.
Okay. That's fine. Susan, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, I know at one time I would have gotten really upset about some of that. But I think I've kind of tried to learn that, you know what, that's the parents' call and that's who's finally in charge of mm-hmm. their education. So I guess if I don't think it's necessary, that's not really my business.
Mm-hmm. I think there is wisdom in that too. I guess how important is this thing? I guess I'd like to back up just a little bit yet to this perfect attendance. How important is it? How much do we emphasize it? Do any of you have any thoughts on it? I'm not going to call some specifically. You might have something.
One thing I've noticed is that it depends a lot on the child age. To be perfectly honest, and I'm talking to all the different schools that are out here, when I say this, most 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th graders, which is what I teach, are really not that excited about getting a piece of paper that said they were at school every day of the year. Whereas a 3rd grader, that is like the ultimate trophy. I have to bring in a student from one of my co-teachers had last year, that this little guy, he was in 3rd grade, and he came to school one day so sick, he just looked miserable, but he wanted that perfect attendance. Now, finally, his teacher decided she was too sick to stay till lunch, so she just sent him home. But that was incredibly important to him. And I think if you want to encourage that, particularly among older students, there needs to be some sort of a different reward given. What that reward is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have any opinions on that. Well, actually, maybe I do, but I'm not going to say them. But anyways, that's my thought.
Okay. Anyone else have any thoughts on this thing of perfect attendance?
I had perfect attendance my last year of school because of trips to check up to the children's hospital when I was a child. It was just the way it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
My father was put a huge emphasis on being at school. He had taught school, and he went to school in Amish school where school was not important. They stayed at home to plow the fields, and he didn't get a very good education, and he wanted us children to. I had 2 sisters that went through 8 years without missing one day. I'm not sure how many nieces and nephews that have done it. I have 2 sons that have done it. Jonah probably says they were sick a few days. I don't know. But they missed a lot of trips they could have gone to. And as far as I know, I never sent them to school with a fever.
The teacher had the fever the next day. Honestly, I very much appreciated those that had perfect attendance. And to teachers, I would just like to say, what's more valuable to me than perfect attendance is what I would call preferred attendance, in which your students want to come to school so bad, they don't want to miss it, and they cry when they're too sick to show up.
I think if we want our students to not be absent because of things that we were talking about, then teachers, we should also think of twice before we take off.
That's a good point. And I hope to talk about that in just a little bit, but we're going to hold it for a little if we can. I think that we had some good balance here. I think the real point, I mean, perfect attendance is probably is good or can be helpful if there's a weakness or need to promote school attendance. It's weak in a certain area. But I think sickness, important doctor visits, things like that, we do not need to get perfect attendance above those things. Funerals, that kind of thing. Perfect attendance is not more important than that. So I think it could be overdone.
I have one more comment in relation to this perfect attendance thing, and this was just something that made my 2 years of teaching in Pennsylvania easier as a teacher. The school board back then, many years before I showed up, had sat down and made a list of excused absences and unexcused absences. And so if a parent came to me and said, can I take my child out for this? Will they lose their perfect attendance? I didn't have to think, well, do I be kind? Do I don't be kind? I looked at the list. Is it on the list? If it was an unexcused absence, then I just told them no. I mean, I told them yes, they will lose their perfect attendance.
Okay. That's an interesting idea. So you can keep perfect attendance if it is for an excusable absence, you might say. All right, that's maybe a way to bring it together. One thing that I feel is nice, for those of you that are parents here, is there is a nice, it's easier maybe for teachers to grant it if it's considered a privilege to take off. Or, in other words, it's not something that's expected, he's taking off type of thing, that we're not informed that he's taking off, but it's more of a question, would you mind if John would take off today because we do have a pretty important whatever event it is? And that can affect, I think, how a teacher feels about it too, the way it's approached from a parent standpoint. But I believe we as teachers do need to relate to them properly, and there will be absences we feel are unnecessary, but we have a choice in how to relate to them. I don't think I'll go into that a lot, but probably one of the things I would say is the best thing to do, or not to do, I'd say, is after school is to go together and steam off about it, especially if it's a continued problem with certain families. That's probably one of the things that we fail in if we do that. So, back to the teacher absence again. How can teachers be encouraged to strive for perfect attendance if we want perfect attendance in our pupils? So this is now you as teachers having perfect attendance. You know, how important do you think perfect attendance is? Let me think. How shall I word that? How easy do you think it should be to take off school, Susan?
Well, I'll be interested in hearing some parents' feedback to this because I teach in my home community and I will probably be teaching on and on, and I can't save everything for the summer. My school board chairman actually substituted 2 days for me this spring when I went to a ladies' retreat. I was really proud of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And I'll just mention for this fact, if it may figure in a little bit, is that she has taught for 13 years. So, Dwayne, what do you think?
Well, last year was my second year, so I thought it was worth the risk. I asked off for a week in December. Now, let me explain. I think it's very important the students can see that you see teaching them as a very important job. And of course it's more than a job. And so they should see there as many days out of the school year as possible. Now, so the thing of priorities, they'll see what our priorities are. If we go off to hunt for the week of December, that's probably sending them the wrong message. Mm-hmm. The reason I took off for a week was my dad was having surgery out of the country, and he requested that I would come stay with the family, my wife and I, for a week while he was gone. Mm-hmm. And so I discussed it with my school board and some others and got their full support, and they found a substitute teacher, and I was, you know, happy that I could do that for my family's sake.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Do the parents have any thoughts on this as far as teachers taking off? Paul or Faith, either of you. Do the parents have any thoughts on this issue of teachers taking off?
I do have some thoughts on it. The one thing I do appreciate is that Jonah, our teacher, doesn't take off as often as I think he could, but. As Mike was shared earlier, I think it makes a difference what it's for. If they're just taking off to go hunting, that would be a kind of a negative. But on the other side of it, I think of myself as you know, a self-employed businessman, and we take off when we want to, anytime through the year. Mm. I mean, we make it happen. And so to say that, you know, they really need to minimize this if they're going for maybe Bible school for a week or to a wedding somewhere, back to the thing of keeping our teachers long term, we talked about that in our board meeting. And so I think there needs to be some understanding with our teachers, because they might not want to teach because they're afraid they might miss a good friend's wedding somewhere because they can't take off. And I don't think that we should do that to our teachers. So those are just some of the thoughts I had.
Do you on the panel have any more thoughts on this subject of teachers taking off that you wanted to add? Just for those of you that are in the audience, I would like one or two of you that are older people to answer the question then is that I had is, has our mindset on this issue changed in the last 30 years? Is this something that has changed from what it used to be as far as teachers taking off. But anything more from the panel? All right, you heard the question. Do you have any? Anyone have any thoughts?
Well, I don't know if I'm older. 30 years catches me at 18, and it's different now than it was when I was at home with my parents, and when I was in school with my teachers. Yeah, there's much more liberty for children to run and for teachers to run than what ever existed when I was in school. Whether it's good or bad or whatever, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's not the same anymore in the communities that I've been a part of.
My teacher was a kind of orchard, mostly apples, as I remember. And every winter, spring, whatever you prune, you could take off days or a few days a week. Because, as I remember, we respected that. He's out taking care of his orchard. He needs to do that, and we had a substitute.
I'm not older. But it's much more important for the teacher to be all there at school than it is to be there when he's at school than it is to be there every day. Take off your wedding, you know, take off if you have to. But when you're at school, leave your phone in your car, be there all there with your class. and then your students will mind, your parents will mind if you do have to leave because you've given them everything when you've been there.
I think that's a valid perspective too. And any other thoughts on that? I guess as a moderator, I have the privilege of concluding this thought here a little bit. But my feeling is that as teachers, we need to be very careful how often we take off and what reasons they are, just like the students. There are some valid times. If you have a doctor appointment, that's a valid time to take off, I think. Especially if there are health needs. But the thing, you know, the question could be Bible school. And that's a wonderful opportunity that we have today that might not have been as easy to have 30 years ago. It wasn't as easy to do it. So maybe that was some of it. But I think probably if you're a first-year teacher or maybe even a first year in your own, in the school you're teaching in, you should try to let that rest for this year at least. That would be my feeling on that. So, do it a little less than you want. Take off a little less than you really want to. And be open, very open with the board on it. Very sensitive to how they feel about it. Because remember, again, that to the parents, the board, that's who you're working for. All right, one more that we'll quickly touch on if we can, if you'll bear with us, is the relationships. So, as we think of parents and teachers relating together, I don't know if this is something that you face or not. We all like to have parents that support us as teachers, and parents like to have teachers that support them and support the school and support the vision of the school. So we think, there's going to have to be some relating back and forth, some involvement of the parents in the school. This is maybe a quick and a yes or no almost type of question, but do you think in your school there is a good or a healthy parental involvement, and we're not here to pinpoint schools particularly, but just your opinion and what you've related to. I'd like to just go down the row on that one. Do you think you have good parental involvement and support in your school?
I'd say yes, we do. Of course, it's hard to give a broad answer like that because it varies from house to house. Mm-hmm. Different parents show different involvements in school, but yes, parents show up to visit. One dad and the dad of some students in our class shows up for recess over lunch break fairly regularly, and I think it's great.
Yeah, good.
Just checking to make sure none of the parents of my students were here last year, because I would say no.
I would like to say yes. And just a hint to any board members that might be here, Paul tried to stop in, if I remember right, once a week last school term. It was not unusual for him to come driving in the school drive Friday afternoon, and he'd walk into my classroom and ask how things going.
Mm-hmm.
That was tops. I appreciated that.
Yes, I have good school parents.
So did I. I try my best.
I don't think I have anything to add to this.
All right. Well, thank you. I know this is one thing we might think about. Parental involvement, it comes in different ways. But one of the ways we can sense support, you might not always know exactly, but you can sense it in several ways. One way is through, you know, their interest in it and in asking you about the school, about the children. And one other way, I think, is actually visiting, which was mentioned a little bit. And one of the things I know not everyone agrees with me on this subject, because not everyone likes visitors in their classroom. That was something I think that was sort of a school culture thing too. But some just do not want a visitor in their class. I come from a different standpoint, I guess. I not that I'm just wanting a visitor to show them any skill of mine in teaching, but to me, that tells me they care. They want to know. And so I liked visitors from that perspective, from that standpoint. And one other thing I might throw out there is to all the dads that are here, visit school too. I like to see if they have a guest book. You know, it's interesting sometimes how many times it's mom and the children, or how many times dad and mom and the children. I like to see dads come in at least sometimes. So I think that's one way. Now can it be too much? I mean, you have some families that they vary. How might it be too much in involvement? When should mom and dad, or mom or dad, I don't know, maybe usually mom, I'm not sure, back off a little bit? See, Dwayne, I don't want to always start with you, so Jenna, you start.
I'm feeling really put on the spot here.
And by the way, let me back up a little bit. I was not referring to any mom on the panel here.
I could assure you that's not a problem. But I personally have never experienced someone coming too much, but I have had a teacher confide in me that a mother was coming and almost taking over her classroom. I would say that's inappropriate and not going to help the school as a whole.
Is there any specific way that's done, or that in that situation it was done? I mean, are they trying to teach the class, or is it just that they're there all the time outside of school? Or
if I remember correctly, the mother would come and hover right behind her daughter and make sounds like this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. All right. So that kind of involvement is too much. All right. Austin, do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree with Jonah.
Me too. Maybe I had a mom one year that was considering coming in, bringing her favorite chair, I guess, to sit beside her student's desk and oversee him most of the school day. And fortunately, I think the school board handled it well, and she didn't end up doing that. And I think that would be an example of being too involved. But
Totally. Well,
we solved that partly by just communicating more.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it's partly my fault. And so I ended up calling once or every other week for sure, just to touch base and inform them of how their student was behaving, because he was a troubled student.
Okay. Well, that's a good example of where communication helps in a situation like this. Because, you know, those parents may have valid concerns or things that they're concerned about, and so we need to be sensitive to that. And maybe there's a better way to resolve it than for them to spend the day in school. Do any of you sister teachers have any thoughts on this thing of being too involved? Do you have anything that you would suggest on that? Not really. Okay. Do you, as teachers, talk to your parents, to the parents, about students other than at parent-teacher meetings? Or is that the only time you talk to them about their issue or any problems? Like, say, even your good students, the ones that are doing well. How would you say that? How often do you, more than at meetings, special meetings set up for it, or just at those meetings? Rhonda, why don't you start with that?
I prefer to talk to the parents outside of the meeting more than in the meeting, mostly because of the formal feel at the meeting. It's easier to relax, for me anyway, and just have a nice visit with the parents about their child outside of a meeting.
Susan, do you have any?
Well, I've been teaching the same children for a while now. They keep moving me up with them. So my seventh grader is going to be in my class for the fifth year this year. And so the parents, we know what we mm-hmm. talk about. And mm-hmm. I think one thing that really makes it easy for me is when a mom will come and ask specifically, like, mm-hmm. how is this going? Mm-hmm. Which I feel free that I can go talk to them. But when they just come and do it first, it's, I like that.
It is nice. Exactly. Yeah. And again, this is maybe a little bit sensitive because I have people from the same school here on both sides of it. But from the parents' perspective, is that a good thing you like to hear outside of those meetings?
Yes, I do, because I think that we need to be current with mm-hmm. what's going on at school. And if there's a problem, 5 or 6 weeks, pretty long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to have some communication throughout that
right.
time.
So the point is that teachers communicate. Don't wait for the meetings. Faith, what did you have?
One thing I appreciate about our teacher is that he will say something when it's not, when something good has happened. He'll mm-hmm. tell me that one of the children, you know, he really appreciates how they sang or a story they said at school, and or he'll ask us about something that one of the children talked about at school. So if I see Jonah meeting my eye after church, I'm like, oh, what did my child go did know? Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way, and I appreciate that. And I had a school board member that would stop me. He didn't often come to school, but he would stop me after church and just ask how things are going, and I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts from the panel on that thing? One thing that I think about is, I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not, that you almost feel if you do, maybe if you do it after church, that you almost get this feeling sometimes. It's possibly an imagination, but that if you do go to want to talk to a parent, it just seems like they slip out the side door. But I think that that's a challenge to me as a teacher, to make sure, like they mentioned, commend positive things too. Make sure the parents are knowing about the good things that are happening when there is progress. And I don't think that has to be the case at all. All right, well, I think that's about all we'll have time to cover here this evening. Is there any thoughts that anyone has on any of these subjects, briefly? Yes.
What's a good teacher response for parental over-enrollment? So a parent walks into your school and starts barking orders at the children that are not even get those children.
Mm-hmm.
Generally handing out instructions.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay? Anyone? I'll open it up for anyone on that one. Any thoughts? How could we deal with it? Uwe? Good. Anything else? That's a good point. I think that is very valid. If once you have kindly asked them to leave and they have left, what do your students detect from you about that person? How you related to them. Don't badmouth them. All right. Okay, well, I trust you thought it was worthwhile, and there is, just as a reminder, question box back there that there may be time. I'm not sure if there's any going to be time for any more questions than what we've had or not, but feel free to put some back there if it's generated any more questions in your mind. And I do want to say thank you, especially to the panel, for filling their place here this evening. You did well, and you didn't look too nervous. So thank you very much. You are dismissed. I'll turn it back over to John.